What do you think about the don't ask, don't tell? I know there's a lot of people that are really uncomfortable with it.
I myself, I don't really care. To me, being homosexual is a sexual preference. I don't ask people what they do behind closed doors, and I don't expect them to ask me what I do behind closed doors. But when it becomes a lifestyle that influences your productivity or the way you are versus the way you're supposed to be, then it's a problem. And I say that, and maybe I'm not making myself clear. Military people are supposed to conduct themselves in a military manner, you know, and be professional. We're not supposed to do intimate things like kissing and holding hands while in uniform. And I don't think that should be accepted. And I don't think it should be pushed because of a sexual preference. You know, I think do whatever you want to do, but do it behind closed doors. You know, if you're walking downtown in civilian clothes and I'm with my husband, I can hold his hand. If a gay couple feels comfortable doing that, that's fine, but don't let it be affiliated with the military.
Do you think that was the downfall of the WECs? Was that there was so much of that and, you know, it's just not tolerated in the outside world, and that it was disintegrating from within because of the problems they were having with lesbianism and other things?
As far as why they did away with the WAC Corps, I don't know as though that's one of the reasons. I think they wanted to go to a unified force because they're doing what we're doing now. We're looking at opening more occupations to females, and that was the way to do it. And plus, the WAC Corps went through serious changes. It used to be you couldn't, when you first came in the WAC Corps, you couldn't be married. And when they finally changed, you definitely couldn't have any children. When they finally changed it to where a WAC could get married, if she became pregnant, you were discharged from the military. And WACs did not collect what they called a quarters allowance. They weren't allowed to collect that because you weren't authorized to be married. And when you did marry, it was normally a service member. If you were married to a civilian counterpart, you did not get quarters allowance for that. And they went through a lot of changes as far as just bringing us up to snuff on and on even keel with the male counterparts. I don't know as though the lesbianism was a main issue as it was getting the females online because they were opening up those occupations other than nursing and administrative. I think it was one of the best things they ever did because I don't think it should have been segregated like that.
What do you think about the... You have women that are almost radical about opening up every single occupational specialty, be it infantry or special forces or rangers, that they should have that chance. And then there are the women that say, well, you know, let's keep it, you know, let's be sensible. And there are some things women just cannot do, and we have to accept that. What do you think about?
All of it normally has to do with the physical requirements. I'm not a radical, but I'm a firm believer in anything that's available to a male should be available to a female if they can meet the standards or the requirements set forth for that. If I wanted to be infantry, I should be allowed to, but I better be able to put on that 60-pound rucksack and march 25 miles along with my male counterpart. Also, there's some males that can't do that either. And, you know, and that's where it gets into the radical portion of it. Well, you've got this little 120-pound weakling. He can't do that. And my thing is, if I can do it, let me do it. If my partner next to me can do it, let her do it. I think it should be available, but the standards and requirements should be across the board and in writing or wherever they need to be to hold everybody to that standard.
What do you think? I know a lot of men think that, you know, if you get a 300 on your PT test, which is the maximum score, well, it may be a 300 to you, but it's only a 250 to a man, and so you're really not as good as you think you are. Do you think we should make the policy should be across board? If I score 50 points for doing 50 push-ups, should the male get 50 points? Or do you think we should keep it staggered the way it is?
Right now, there's only one thing in the military that is different in standards, as far as Army-wide, and that's the physical fitness requirements. Everything else, we all have to qualify the same on weapons and all that good stuff, but the only difference is the physical fitness requirements. I was fortunate enough to go to the Master Fitness School, where they train you and all this. And this one guy is on the President's Sports Council, has a doctorate in sports medicine, and I mean, these are not normal military people teaching this. And I don't know as though I have the right to say, or anybody else has the right to say, I should be doing the same as a male. Doctors and people with much more education than I'll ever have determine the differences between the male and female body, the heart capacity, lung capacity, pelvic structure. They can tell you why blacks might be a better long distance runner or short distance runner versus males, white males, because of the structure. And I think it needs to be left in their hands. And that's who the Army went to develop that. And I think anybody who says, you're not as good as me, even though you got that 300, has a problem with themselves. You know, I think everybody, it's a standard you're going against, not the people around you. It's the standard that's there in writing by these people who have all this education. And I hear it every time I take a PT test. But it's up to the leaders, like myself, to be the ones to say, look at the chart, put your standards against the chart, not the person next to you. That's the only thing you're competing against, is the number on that chart, not Joe Snuffy down the road. Yeah, I get upset about it because I take pride in what I do as far as physical fitness. And I might not be able to do it as fast as everybody else, but sooner or later I'll get there. It may take me a day longer.
I've read some magazines, some soldier magazines, about the difference in sizes for the rank that goes on the Class A uniform, and how women's is smaller than men's, and it's not because we are smaller in shape, but it's to keep us, that men don't think we really hold the same rank, that you as a first sergeant don't have that rank and power that your male counterpart. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it doesn't matter the size of the rank that you're wearing. I still get paid the same as that first sergeant that's sitting next to me, and I can still walk out there and get the same reaction as that first sergeant that's sitting next to me. So once again, I think it's in the eyes of the beholder. It doesn't bother me. I know my first sergeant stripes are the same as his as far as in meaning and paycheck, and I hold the same authority as he does, and more than others.
Did you ever have a problem with some of your male soldiers and your power base? I know that everyone has to set their power base, but did you ever have a problem because you were a female?
Only one time, and that was at Fort Ord. I was a squad leader, and we were down at Fort Chaffee working the Cubans. And I had told one of my soldiers, a PFC, to do something, and he made the comment about you being a bitch. That lasted about 20 seconds. I don't get excited over a whole lot of things, but if people are going to use my sex as an excuse, I'm going to throw it back in their face. You know, people come from all different walks of life, don't have the exposure, don't have the experience now after 18 years in the military that I have to know some things are not allowed. We see it every day with the trainees, depending upon where they're coming from. But that was the only time I've ever had a problem with, you know, the sex part of it, the gender part of it. But it's the training that the military does, too, to educate people. Because you can't change somebody overnight when they've spent 18, 19 years in the hills of Alabama, you know, or like an all-white Iowa midtown.
Do you think that that's part of your job when you're in the training environment is to culture, and I know you have to, some people say brainwash them into the military ways, but you also have to culture them in that there are many facets and races and we all have to get along.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily just the training environment. This is the prime opportunity because you have a captive audience that can't go home at the end of the day. But I think every day, no matter where we're at, that's a leader's responsibility. Because even if a soldier just cannot get rid of those prejudices, whether it be on sex, gender, race, religion, or whatever, the military is to train them, walk away from it then. It's not an issue unless you make it an issue, and the Army doesn't allow it to be an issue. If you cannot handle it, remove yourself from it. The only thing you have to do is work with this person. You don't have to like them. And I think that that's an everyday job, no matter where we're at.
Well, just to close up this interview now, where do you think women are going to go? And do you think that women will continue to move ahead compared to the women civilian counterparts? Because women in the civilian world have their ceilings. Do you think women in the military will move up and be able to surpass that?
I don't know if they'll ever surpass it, because to me it's kind of like apples and oranges. We already have a set ceiling. You know, I can only become a sergeant major, or if I were an officer, I could only become a general. And I'm sure it's the same way in civilian life. You can only be the president, the vice president, or a CEO of a corporation. I think we do a better job in managing our women's careers in the military now, because there's a lot more awareness, not emphasis, but awareness. Yeah, we can do the job and we can do it just as well as anybody else. Give me credit for my merits on my merits alone. And I think it'll continue that way. We see women staying in the military longer, which is giving leeway to us holding those key positions. You know, I got out once after my first tour and came back in. I could have been one of those ones that I found something on the outside. There is life after the military, and I'll find that out soon enough. But I think the longer we stay in, because we're taking it serious and we're making a difference. I mean, nowhere in civilian life can you go do the things we do and receive the laudatory comments, the accolades, the awards, the recognition as fast as you do in the military. You don't see that in civilian life. And I think that's what those pats on the back keep us going, just like they do the male counterpart. And I think we're going to keep on going stronger, because we are staying in longer, because the military is attuned to families and not just an individual soldier. So I think, I don't know if we'll make the same strides as a civilian. I think it's easier for us to do that because of the opportunities available. I mean, where else can you go to college and all that, all in one day, and not be docked pay or anything on that? So I think we're going to go far. Hopefully I will.